So this is my review of Dragon Ball Super. First off, I'm doing this out of obligation, as any real Dragon Ball fan would. I normally don't leave reviews and wasn't going to say anything, but seeing people giving this series a 10 out of 10, I couldn't just sit back and hold my tongue without telling the truth. I created an account just to post this review. That's how serious I am. Here is the objective truth about Dragon Ball Super, all favoritism, personal bias, opinions, and prejudices put aside. Dragon Ball Super is easily the worst piece of fiction ever created. Anyone who tells you otherwise either has no knowledge of Dragon Ball, has an IQ of 62 or below, was never taught critical thinking, or is a delusional child whose brain hasn't developed yet. The most obvious assumption is probably all of the above. The anime and manga both do not deserve the slightest bit of praise in any way, shape, or form. Akira Toriyama has shown his ignorance and successfully destroyed every aspect of Dragon Ball's existence. The only reason anyone likes Dragon Ball Super is because it has the name Dragon Ball stamped on it. In fact, I'll even go a step further. Dragon Ball Super doesn't even need an argument made against it to express how foolishly retarded it is. But for the sake of context and low IQ people, I'll present one anyway. Dragon Ball Z was originally intended to end after Goku defeats Frieza on Namek. But it became so popular that the fans demanded it to continue. So the creator did just that. Toriyama did not want to continue after Frieza. Now I will admit that Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z are not perfect. Mistakes are present for sure, but nowhere near to the extent Dragon Ball Super has. I have never in my entire life felt more disrespected when reading slash watching this series. Everything that you ever knew about Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z is completely irrelevant in Dragon Ball Super. All the characters, power scaling, and comedy are completely gone. Nothing of what made the epic moments of Dragon Ball could be found this pathetic seems for a sequel. Did the people producing Dragon Ball Super even read the original Dragon Ball manga, watch the anime at all? How did this writing pass quality control? Or was there any? The writing feels like it's done by preschool kids, yet all Dragon Ball Super fans consume it like it's a full course meal. Any character can suddenly be the strongest fighter ever if the plot demands it. There are no consequences, stakes, or point of anything in Dragon Ball Super. If Dragon Ball Super never existed, nothing would be any different after the events of Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Super turned out to be a typical corporate low-quality cash grab. It took Goku many fights and training to achieve Super Saiyan. For everyone, really, it took a lot of work. Now Super Saiyan has been reduced to a tingly feeling in the back. What a joke. They don't give a shit. All the characters' images are flushed down the toilet. Vegeta becomes a funny obsessed with food Persian cat's lapdog, trains with Goku like they were good old buddies, becomes a regular tamed family man. This is truly something a Dragon Ball hater would come up with to trigger its fandom. Vegeta also gets a silhouette of a woman. Being a Saiyan lost its meaning. Previously, creators made us believe that they really were a legendary feared throughout universe warrior race, through their bulky design, fear-inducing and prideful attitude, and their thirst for battle. Now we have Vegeta becoming a submissive Gohan going full human, and new Saiyans being gentle and friendly with childlike bodies. Goku becomes such a massive and egotistic fool that he's hardly a likable character anymore, and starts treating his family like garbage. What Goku used to be is like especially showcased in his relationship with Gohan. He would always encourage him. He made it clear that while Vegeta's pride was a wicked obsession of self-worth, Goku's pride was his son. And Super? When Vegeta suggests getting Gohan to help them fight, Goku refutes the idea because Gohan is too rusty. Where did all the confidence in his son go? Goku doesn't react at all when Gohan tells him that he will be a grandfather at some point. Goku forgets that Gohan even exists. Goku now enjoys playing games that remove billions of lies from existence with satisfaction on his face. Heck, he even takes part in organizing them. Where is that Goku that becomes super serious and legitimately scary when innocent beings are threatened? Goofy or not, selfish or not, Goku was never the kind of person to observe others getting slaughtered. With that one exception where he watches his son getting beaten up due to his misunderstanding of his character, gets enlightened by Piccolo and immediately asks Krillin for his sensei bean to intervene, let alone take part in it. Goku's intelligence, regular and emotional, lowers to levels that shouldn't even be possible. From not very bright but still family-loving man, he turns into a rock. He's now the kind of person you try to avoid in real life because of how obnoxious his behavior is. Goku, Gohan, Vegeta, and Super might look a bit like them, they might have the same voices, but they're not even close to actually being them, and those are just main characters. Other ones also do get treated badly. Videl, Fat Boo, and Piccolo lose their charm. Goten and Trunks are completely ignored. They include new, insanely overpowered comical characters, gods of destruction, even stronger angels, and the one above all, a toy robot god with the mind of a 3-year-old child. This really is the pinnacle of Super, showing how non-series and parody-like it is. The entire concept of Zeno is the most horrible storytelling ever. A toy robot that has the mind of a 3-year-old is the most powerful entity in the multiverse? Am I supposed to take that even remotely seriously? What's more ridiculous is they start including scenes to make everyone, Beerus or Zenos, the overpowered characters I spoke of above. How can you take anything, any villain, any fight, any emotional scene seriously in any setting like this? Everyone could just be removed by a touch of Beerus's finger or Zeno's thought. Whenever Super tries to get serious, it just can't because of all these design mistakes. The final arc of Super is a war between universes, but it feels like children flinging sand at each other in a sandbox. Nobody takes it seriously with Zeno chanting how cool it is. When you watch it, you just want it to end because of how unintensive, casual, and forgettable it is. Give all the shit you want for sharing contests and grunty noises and see. But they knew how to make things dramatic and intense. Screaming and gaining blonde hair with blue-green eyes was always a bit cheesy, but they kept it consistent so it was acceptable. But now they started throwing in random colors and transformations one after another. Pink, blue, red, green, white, what's next? Rainbow Saiyan? And all those transformations are reached on a whim. Struggle and emotional trauma are not required anymore. There's no sense of power scaling whatsoever. When you recall scenes like Goku and Gohan training the hyperbolic time chamber, it made sense that they came out much stronger. In Super, anyone could just jump over a colossal power difference with no effort. Android 17 hunts poachers for a while or Frieza trains for 4 months, and they jumped over 4 Saiyan transformations. There's no emotional side to Super, with all characters being infantile and dumbed-down versions of their previous selves. Universe becoming a parody of itself, bonding replaced with weak gag scenes, you will feel absolutely nothing. Any emotional scene in Super feels forced and usually is a fan service, like Piccolo dying for Gohan against Frieza, in the same pose he did against Nappa years ago. Even in the more comedic setting in the original Dragon Ball, Goku and Krillin's friendship-slash-rivalry and their student-slash-mentor relationship with Roshi were believable and grew on you. In Super, there is nothing like this. It's all low-quality gag scenes with food. You know that feeling when you rewatch an old Dragon Ball clip and get chills or tears in your eyes? Forget about it in Super. Drama is just a very poorly executed afterthought. Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z had a very different tone, but their essence was the same. Observing our characters grow, bond, and push through obstacles to believable and satisfying ways. Super is a best mix with joke scenes. Super has captured none of the previous charm. In Super, the story is built around ludicrous amounts of fan service, bringing back Pilaf, Frieza, Android 17, Future Trunks, Roshi, Vegito, Broly, female Saiyans, constant new transformations. The creativity in Super is at an absolute zero. It's all about seeing these old characters in action without any actual meaningful plot following it. It's put in at a character first, and then write a lazy explanation for his appearance. Where's all that brutality and badassery that Dragon Ball was always known for? There's no blood, bruises, or battle damage in Super. It made for such great visuals. You could feel how far the characters were pushing themselves to the last breath. It's hard to believe this is the same series where Gohan made Cell suffer so much that he spat out 18. Frieza got cut in half. Cell painfully absorbed people's life force. Frieza ripped Nail's arm off. Bobbity exploding Spopovich. Future Trunks cut Frieza to pieces and vaporized him, and made his father, King Cold, beg for his life. Android 18 broke Vegeta's arm. Vegeta ripped Android 19's hands off with blood spewing from the stumps. I go so far as to say that's even worse than GT, though I never thought it was possible to make a sequel worse than GT. I thought GT was bad, but my gosh, Dragon Ball Super makes GT look like a masterpiece, though I do agree that GT had its bad moments. However, GT at least tried to be creative with storytelling. A good example of this is Super Saiyan 4. Super Saiyan 4 was the most logical Saiyan transformation in Dragon Ball history. It is utilized from the Saiyan tail, their true source of power, basically combining the ape transformation and Super Saiyan together. Super Saiyan 4 is the true Super Saiyan, a Saiyan's highest peak in fully developed form. Super Saiyan 4 is more of an evolution than a transformation. taking ancient Saiyan DNA and utilizing it to its full extent. Super Saiyan 4 is achieved by transforming into the Golden Ape and learning to control it. The look of Super Saiyan 4 appealed to me a lot. The final, most powerful, and fully evolved form of the Saiyan race would make sense to look like that. The Saiyans evolved from a monkey race. They are brutal ape warriors, not multicolored fairies. Taking a Saiyan and simply changing the hair color slash aura is not more creative than Super Saiyan 4. Regardless of it's not canon, the fact still remains that Super Saiyan 4 follows what Saiyans actually are better than any other form. The ape transformation was said to be their true form. Super Saiyan 4 brought the Saiyans back to their primitive nature and style of look. Super Saiyan 4 also fits the original legend better. Earlier in Dragon Ball Z, during the Namek Saga, Vegeta mentioned that the original Super Saiyan was a golden ape. Super Saiyan 4 had evidence behind it, facts to back it up, not to mention it didn't feel fan-made. Super Saiyan 4 felt like a realistic transformation, which is why it makes more sense than Super Saiyan God. Looking at the history and facts of Saiyans, GT has more creativity than Super. GT had a story that made sense and a transformation that made sense. It also gave Dragon Ball Z the most realistic ending it could have had. One other thing that a lot of people forget about. Akira Toriyama created Dragon Ball as a parody to the Chinese novel Journey to the West. Goku based on the character's son Wukong, the Monkey King. Super Saiyan 4 makes him take an almost identical appearance to the Monkey King. Therefore, lore-wise, Super Saiyan 4 fits with the story perfectly. Son Wukong, translated to English, is Son Goku. People also complained about GT making Goku a kid again. Well, with some careful thinking, there is a reason for that. GT made Goku a kid to weaken him, because as an adult, he would have defeated anyone most likely. Also, Kid Goku is one of the most iconic characters of all time. More people recognize Kid Goku when thinking of Dragon Ball. GT stands for Goku Time, meaning it's about him. From the first episode of GT, you knew it was going to have the same type of feel in the fighting. We see Goku sparring with Ub, just like the classic style Dragon Ball Z had. This is the first moment of GT, that's when I knew the characters were still the same. Super does not have the same feel. The characters do not act like they did in Z. Fights are also now what fell out. The new characters in Super don't feel like someone to remember. I remember Frieza, Cell, Majin Buu because they made such an impact that it's hard to forget. Now let's cover the topic of Golden Frieza. This is another asshole that Super does. No matter what the explanation is, canon or not, Frieza should in no way be able to catch up to God level with only 4 months of training. Considering the fact he never knew it existed in the first place is reason one. If Frieza had that potential all along and he knew it, then why didn't he become Golden Frieza when he came to Earth with his father? I mean, he knew how strong Goku was at the time, he knew Goku had the power to defeat him, so why take the chance? If Frieza only had that potential and didn't use it after his first encounter with Goku, then he's a retard that didn't deserve a third opportunity. There is no way to justify that type of power increase. If someone is a god or a god status, then it should not be possible to catch up to them by simply training for a short time. Then again, why even bring back Frieza at all? For what? Just so he can die again? Only leading back to the same result as before? Also, Frieza's been dead for years. I thought you can't wish someone back after they've been dead for more than a year. As how was Frieza even able to be wished back with Earth's Dragon Balls? Once again, another shameful retcon. Now for the Zamasu arc. This one is probably the worst of them all. Some evil Kai decides to enter Future Trunks' timeline and steal Goku's body, becoming Goku Black, in an attempt to commit evil doings. Then, with no explanation, he gets a new transformation called Super Saiyan Rosé. This form just comes completely out of nowhere, which, at least in the anime, still to this day, has never been explained. Zamasu decides to fuse with his Kai cell with Goku Black using Katara fusion. In order to defeat him, Goku and Vegeta fuse to become Vegeta once more. Only this time, they decide to retcon the Katara fusion, saying it only lasts for 1 hour now. This brings me to my next point. It was stated in Dragon Ball Z by Elder Kai that the Potara Eirin fusion was a permanent fusion, never to be undone. Now, I know a lot of people may make the argument, well, how did Goku and Vegeta fuse in Saibu then? Though this is indeed an unexplained theory, though research has led me to believe this was the doing of Majin Buu's magical powers. We previously saw throughout the Buu arc that Majin Buu had extraordinary magical powers, like healing Bobbini when Piccolo cut him in half, curing the blind kid of his disablement, turning things into candy. I don't find it hard to believe that Buu could have powers strong enough to even undo fusion. This leads to more questions. if the Patara earrings have a time limit, why was that not explained in Dragon Ball Z? Why did the Witch and Elder Kai not unfuse? Why didn't Kapito and Supreme Kai unfuse? Better yet, why didn't Zamasu unfuse? He used the same earrings Vegito did. Then we get to the part where, despite using 100% of his power, Vegito fails to destroy Zamasu in time and the fusion wears off. During this, Future Trunks' timeline, the population is that of about 5 people, including Goku and Vegeta. In a final effort to defeat the fused Zamasu, Goku tries for the Spear Bomb, only now it has a charge time of almost zero. Not to mention, there are hardly any people in Trunks' timeline due to Zamasu destroying most of it, so there really isn't any energy for the Spear Bomb to absorb. But somehow, out of nowhere, Future Trunks shows up and saves the day by absorbing the Spear Bomb into a sword and one-shots Zamasu by slicing him in half with his sword, something Vegito couldn't do with his 100% full power. Hold on, where did Trunks learn how to use a technique he's never seen or used before? And how would he know how to absorb it into his sword? Also, how was he able to one-shot a fusion? The worst of it all, the entire timeline is erased when Zeno, who's proclaimed to be the most powerful entity in the multiverse, deletes that timeline, making the entire fight pointless. Like, what was even the point of the arc if it could just be ended with a thought? Now we get to the two most crucial retcons. I'll start with the hyperbolic time chamber. It was stated in Dragon Ball Z that you're only allowed to spend a total of 2 years in the chamber, which equals to 2 days on the outside. Then the door disappears forever, and you can never return to Earth's realm. And Super, well, this doesn't matter. You can use the chamber as much as you please. What a joke. The Dragon Balls also have a new universe set called the Super Dragon Balls. They're the same as the regular Dragon Balls, except, guess what? They have no limitations now. Meaning, you can literally wish for anything. Well, this makes the entirety of Dragon Ball pointless. Why even continue if you know this? Anything that happens can just be undone. This also means there are no consequences whatsoever. There were limitations on Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z that still made it possible to tell a story. Removing this limitation is not just stupid, but contradictory as well. But nope, the fans eat this all up like it's perfect storytelling. There needs to be consistency when having a perpetually enforced set of rules. I'm not even going to go into the Universe Survivor arc because there really isn't anything to say. Again, Zeno can just delete the universes as he pleases. Not only that, but at the end of Universe 7, Goku and company used the Super Dragon Balls to wish all the universes back. Like, what the hell was even the point of the tournament then? Dragon Ball Super is a prime example of how you murder a franchise to its fullest. It just confirms that Akira Toriyama is ignorant on what to do with his characters except for Goku and Vegeta. He was never a good writer in the first place. He openly admitted to forgetting things. Like, he thought Android 18's hair was pink. This man knows nothing anymore, and anything he says should no longer be taken seriously. All in all, any respectable fan who started watching it from the beginning would know Dragon Ball Super is a pathetic excuse to make money off the name Dragon Ball. Seeing how popular and blindly a lot of people are praising this nonsense has me questioning if any Dragon Ball Super fan has ever read the original Dragon Ball manga or watched the anime at all. If they have, then they were never taught what critical thinking is. It's absolutely wonderful to know that we live in a world of blind, delusional people that mindlessly praise nonsense like this, to see our favorite animes being destroyed. All companies have to do anymore is just slap a popular title on something and it's good. No questions asked. They don't even have to create a story at all anymore. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, though, considering how stupid the average person is. I often hear the complaint, Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super have the same flaws. No, I can assure you, this is not true by any means. You can't look me in the eye and tell me that Winnie the Pooh or Future Trunks one-shotting a fusion has never happened in Dragon Ball. And that's just a couple of many issues. None of the events in Dragon Ball Super are connected with Z. If Dragon Ball Super never happened, nothing in Dragon Ball or Z would have changed. Events would have happened exactly the same. You would miss no important information if you never watched Dragon Ball Super. Something else that bugs me of how people say anyone who doesn't like Super is just a hater. If anything, the hatred would have to come first for it to be based in hate, and that you could say someone criticizing is wrong, but it's not like anyone came in wanting to hate the new Dragon Ball Super. Sure, we have to accept its canon, because Toriyama sold himself out to Toei, but I think saying it's canon so suck my ass is just lazy and stupid. It just doesn't feel the same, because it's bad. You want to know why it's bad? The true man behind Z's success was Akira Toriyama's editor, Kazuhiko Torishima, who channeled Toriyama's ideas into something better than what they were. Toriyama was more like a dynamo who couldn't judge the quality of his own work past a certain level. Torishima guided the story into something coherent and likable with mass appeal. Toriyama himself isn't all that focused or even much for details or consistency, and his writing skills are kind of questionable. Which means, when it comes down to it, is that Toriyama on his own is kind of shit. Which sucks because we thought he was awesome and we don't want him to see in a bad light. But now that we've seen Super, while it comes down to it is the people want something genuine from the artist and people accept garbage with their favorite characters superimposed in it, and then disrespectfully slapped with canon from Toei. Us haters want Toriyama and Torishima, aka original quality Dragon Ball Z. You retards want not really all that involved Toriyama past his prime in Toei, a corporation that barely gives a fuck. While this is the creative repute of Super is undeniably drawn into question, in reality, it's nothing but a bunch of gay, thrown-together bullshit and assholes. Straight garbage. Akira Toriyama is someone who forgets about his own writing and characters. That should tell you all you need to know about him as a writer. So is that who you have faith in, Dragon Ball Super fans? Someone who isn't consistent, doesn't care, and forgetful? What kind of logic is that? Unfortunately, Toriyama doesn't care about you, me, or any of his fans, or even Dragon Ball for that matter. If you're passionate about your writing, you won't forget anything, using the excuse he's old doesn't fit. That's like having 10 kids and forgetting one of their names. And do you want to know what the worst part about it all? Toei and Toriyama are probably sitting back laughing at all of you Dragon Ball Super fans right now, thinking what complete morons you all are, cashing in on your stupidity, because they know you eat this shit up without question. Conclusion, Dragon Ball Super is made to appeal to kids, and people with low IQs. The only reason it's so popular is because of nostalgia. Dragon Ball Super fans don't want to admit that their ultimate legacy has been tainted. Anything with this many inconsistencies should never be taken seriously. In short, GT will always be the true continuation to Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, no matter what anyone says. It kept the lore and formula of what Dragon Ball truly was. The level of retcon that went to Super is beyond repair, and has forever stained the series. Unfortunately, nothing can fix this shitpost Akira Toriyama made. So thank you, Dragon Ball Super fans. This review wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for your mindless incompetence in understanding what consistency is. Sorry, Dragon Ball Super fans, but I'm just telling you how it is. If you honestly believe Dragon Ball Super is any type of accomplishment, then you obviously never saw Dragon Ball and or Z, have a completely terrible taste in anime, or probably have a low IQ. And that is unfortunately something you're gonna have to accept. It's like a bad fan-made joke that got extreme funding, and somehow everyone is taken seriously. If this was any other anime or manga where the main character's name wasn't Goku, it would less likely be shunned and never spoken about again. It seems not too many people care about the passion that went into Dragon Ball Z, which made it much more authentic. This goes to show all you have to do is slap Dragon Ball on the side of anything, call it canon, and it's good. No questions asked. There really is no excuse. Dragon Ball isn't complex enough to be having this many inconsistencies. There's not enough narrative for that. It's a simple story that isn't hard to understand. So anyone giving Dragon Ball Super a 10 out of 10 is just plain delusional. It just further proves how this generation is regressing in intelligence instead of the opposite. Anyone thinks Winnie the Pooh is worthy writing or belongs in Dragon Ball at all has no business discussing what good writing is. Common sense must be a curse to have, because a lot of people seem to not have it. So congrats, retards! You've ruined the legendary series. As for those of us who actually appreciate Dragon Ball Z, well, I guess we're fucked. Once again, congratulations.